Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for the third midweek in Lent comes from Psalm 95. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
This is another Psalm of David. At least that's what the author of Hebrews says in chapter 4 of his epistle. He also will say that in the third chapter that these are the words of the Holy Spirit. And so if you really wanted to know who the true author of this psalm is, David or the Holy Spirit, the answer would be yes. But like all the rest of the psalms as well, even if we didn't write them, they should be seen as coming from us too. We make these songs our own. We make these prayers our own, even if they were written by someone else. But then again, this is exactly what the liturgy does for us. We sing and we speak the words of God back to him, trusting in his promises, and then each to each other, encouraging us with those very same words of God. Now, contextually speaking, this was probably a psalm that was written for and probably most often sung during the Feast of Tabernacles. That was that major autumn feast in the Old Testament, the one that had the people living out in the tent outside of the city for about a week, commemorating the years spent out in the wilderness for the nation of Israel after God had rescued them from Egypt. But this feast, it was also a joyous one. It was a time of celebration, a time of corporate and individual thanksgiving. The God who had saved the Israelites from Egypt was still the same God who looked over David and all of the people of his time. Goodness, he's still the same God who is our God, even today. Because the Lord doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That's why we still sing this song, this psalm. That's why we had the privilege of hearing Allison sing it to us this evening. And that arrangement that she sung from comes at the beginning of our hymnal. It comes from the service of morning prayer. It's called the Venite, and that's just fancy Latin talk for come. It's the first word of the psalm. Things always seem a little bit more special in Latin, don't they? Could you imagine naming this particular canticle Come? No one would take it seriously. But anyways, singing this song, we also sing it in the service of Matins. And some of you might be a little bit more familiar with the service of Matins, so you might be familiar with the Venite there. But the interesting thing about the Venite is that it leaves out the final four verses of Psalm 95. It just ends with us being sheep of the great shepherd. That's a good place to be, if you ask me. And we'll get to the last couple of verses in a moment, because I did say earlier that the writer of the Hebrews did quote from this psalm, both in the third and fourth chapters, but he only quotes those last four verses that we don't sing. But for this moment, let's just focus on the first seven, because it's here that we are encouraged to sing to the Lord. Yes, make a joyful noise to him, not just to him, but to the rock of our salvation. That's the language that's used, rock of our salvation, which if all we knew was the 95th psalm and nothing else, we would think that David was just using some sort of poetic license. And while we can certainly say that all the psalms are poems, it goes much deeper than that, for this harkens us back all the way to our Old Testament reading from Sunday. If you can think back three whole days and remember that reading, it was from Exodus. It was the place where the people grumbled against the Lord right after they had been brought out of Egypt, right after they had received manna from heaven, right after they had been shown the promised land, but they were too scared to enter it, even after all of the assurances and promises of God that this land would be theirs because he said so. Right after all of that happened, the people, again, grumbled out there in the wilderness against Moses and against God because they were thirsty. And they didn't know where they would receive water out there in the desert. And they didn't believe that God would be able to supply them with everything that they need, even after the 10 plagues and the Red Sea and manna from heaven. And I would like to say that I could shake my fist in my head at the Israelites, but I really can't. I'm no different. You probably aren't either. The Lord is a great God. He's a great king above all gods. And he's shown this time and time again that he'll supply us with everything that we need to support this body and life. He has consistently fulfilled his promises to us, brought us the forgiveness of sins that has been won for us on the cross. And yet, how often do we still find ourselves grumbling against God and doubting his word? Goodness, the moment that we just get a simple cold, we just fall down and die and we think that God's abandoned us. That's how fickle we are sometimes. I know maybe it's not that bad all the time, but you get the point. And so if you remember from Sunday, God provided for the Israelites once again. Water sprang from that rock in the wilderness, miraculously even, after Moses was instructed to strike it with his staff. And the people were saved from death by dehydration. God brought them salvation from the rock. That's why David, here in our psalm, says that we should make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation, because that is who our God is. And Paul in 1 Corinthians will call that rock out there in the wilderness Jesus. Jesus saved the Israelites, just like Jesus saved and saves us. And so David begins this psalm with an encouragement for us to sing songs of praise to the God who, yes, saves us. And he begins with salvation, and then he moves on to creation. Our God is an everywhere type of God. The depths of the earth, the heights of the mountains are all in his hands. By his almighty power, he upholds all of creation. If for even just one instant he were to take his presence away from these things that he has spoken into existence, we would all cease to exist. The sea is his. The dry land, too. It's all his, and he's created it, and he upholds it for you. All of this is for you to enjoy. That's the God that we have. The one who finds pleasure in providing for us everything, everything that we need. And so, because of this, we should indeed worship. We should bow down. We should come into his presence, that is, in the place where he's promised to be, this place, right here, where he gives out his good and gracious gifts of life and salvation. We should come into his presence, into this place with thanksgiving, with songs of praise. That's David's exhortation to us, his encouragement in this very psalm. Because we don't just have a God who creates, but we have a God who saves. And because of that, he's not just some big, scary, angry God up there in the sky that we don't know anything about, except that he's bigger than us. But he's our shepherd, and we're his sheep. It's a little bit of Psalm 23, just sliced into the Venite, in order to comfort us and encourage us throughout our daily lives. So then that finally does bring us to those final four verses that are unsung in the Venite, but which are quoted for us in Hebrews. And I'm not going to read all of them. You can do that tonight on your own, but I will quote verse 8 and 9, because that's where David continues to encourage us, saying, Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness. He's referring back to Moses and the rock. When your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. And maybe it's a little bit strange that we don't add these verses and the other two to the Venite, but I guess it's because they sound a little bit too gloomy after singing about the rock of our salvation and the God who is our good shepherd. But it is still good for us to be encouraged and exhorted to remain steadfast and to beware of hardening our hearts against the Lord, who is our Savior. Every day that we call today, that's how the writer to the Hebrews speaks about it in Hebrews chapter 3. Every day that we call today, which is in fact every single day, because every single day is today, is another reminder that we have a God who loves us enough to, create us. And loves us enough to sustain us. And loves us enough to justify us through the work of Good Friday. And loves us enough to sanctify us through his word and sacraments constantly, over and over again. And so here we have David. He's not immune to the fallen things of this broken world, to all of the situations where he had to actually look up to heaven and shake a fist and wonder where God was. Here we have this simul ustis et peccator, this simultaneous saint and sinner, encouraging us to hold fast, not to ourselves, but to the promises of God. During this season of Lent, we're about halfway done, if you can imagine that already. We're not striking a bargain with the great Almighty. We're not offering him anything, not our thoughts or our words or our deeds, in hope that he will come through for us. No, the season of Lent is a season of constant reminder that we have a rock of salvation who was split in the wilderness, water gushing out there for the Israelites, only to later be split right there on the cross, water and blood springing out of his side for the sins of the whole entire world. Don't let the fallenness of this broken world cause your hearts to be hardened against him. Be here. Be here where he gives himself to you, that you might be strengthened in your everyday life, even today, hearing the promises of your Lord time and time again. He loves you enough to create you. And he loves you enough to take care of you every single day. And he loves you enough to die for you. We'll hear about that in 3 weeks from now on Good Friday. And he loves you enough to supply you with that cruciform victory. You heard about that today. You'll receive it again on Sunday. So yes, indeed. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.